Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast, and let's focus on some Illinois basketball today. So I brought in Derek Piper. We got to talk about a decommitment. We got to talk about an official hire. When is the next hire going to happen? What's next and who they can attract? What will Chester Frazier do on the recruiting trail here? We got the home and away schedule with the Big Ten, the one play, single play, double plays, all of that to get into. But today is a big day, Derek, because you and I, vaccinated, fully vaccinated, we don't have to wear the mask indoors at places. I don't know how this will all be worked in, how companies will all do this, but I think this is a great sign, Derek, that we're going to have Illinois fans at State Farm Center, and likely a packed State Farm Center, as long as we continue to get rid of this virus. It's going to be a heck of a lot better than last year. We're watching one of the best teams we've seen in Illinois history, at least the regular season, and in the Big Ten tournament. We're going to have those fans back in the State Farm Center, and that's just going to be so great to have that. And Iowa is coming to town, so it all lines up pretty nicely today.
That's incredibly exciting. We saw the reaction, you and I both, over at the Big Ten tournament, and just the excitement on the faces of those fans getting to see that team. And we're still waiting to see if a guy like Kofi's going to come back for one more year, but for them to see Andre Curbelo up close and just – to remember what that's going to feel like when that State Farm Center is packed, or even just whatever capacity it is, just to see some other people in there other than us media sitting in one section, and it's dead quiet at times. It's just kind of weird. But, really, really excited. Clearly, you know, football wraps into that as well with fans coming back this year. I know that Lante in particular wants to get in his tailgate spot and do all that. And then in June, I'm excited to get out in the AAU scene I guess high school in June and AAU in July. But, back to the original point, State Farm Center, Illinois basketball, just getting back to normal. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and that's why we tried to follow this plan, right? To see the plan start to come together and see some rewards of that is certainly awesome. So many people have made sacrifices, and, you know, it's just finally to see some light at the end of this tunnel is fantastic. Okay, Derek, some bad news on the Illinois basketball front, and this is what happens when you have some turnover. And I don't know if I want to put it all on that, because the kid also had a really big spring that maybe opened up some options. We'll have to see on that. But with the two assistants leaving, and then you have AJ Storr decommit from Illinois just a month or two after he originally committed. Class of 2022 wing. And really big wing. We've talked about this. Chicago native or Illinois native moves to Arizona, really blows up this spring. And Illinois made a quick move on him. It seemed like it worked out pretty well. So what do you know? What went into this, and how much did the assistance weigh, and how big of a loss is this for Brad Underwood?
Yeah, this is something that we would have expected going into losing two big primary assistants who, as we talked a lot about, had a lot of involvement in recruiting and really led the charge in developing these relationships. So Chen Coleman was the guy for AJ Storr in terms of getting in there early. They offered back in November, and they really made a point of emphasis to press this spring to try to lock him up, because they thought him going on the AAU scene, and he played well at Geico Nationals, but I'm sure opened some people's eyes, and that even added to the urgency, like, we got to get this guy on board, because who knows what his offer list looks like when it comes time for the fall. So when Chen leaves to go to Kentucky, I talked to his mom a little bit, and she just emphasized, like, that's the guy that we – not to take anything away from Brad Underwood, because I know that was actually who AJ called to commit to. So they had a relationship, of course, but just kind of further emphasized how well Chen did with just the contact, the trust that they built, and that's what made him feel comfortable in committing. So for Chen not to be there – and for AJ to have another summer of the AAU scene and trying to feel out this recruitment, you can't blame the kid too much for wanted to see this through and just open up his options. And Chester Frazier was someone that recruited him for a little bit. Virginia Tech was one of his three high major offers, Illinois and Ole Miss the other two. So I know that Chester is trying to get in there and try to solidify that. So yeah, Storr is someone that has really progressed here recently. 6'5", big body guard, has played really well this spring, and he's going to have options, and maybe even in 2021, because it's someone that he just graduated from Arizona Compass Prep, and he was a reclass. So if someone wanted to pursue him to bring them on, you know, to bring him on their roster this season, that could be even in play as well. So, but yeah, it's kind of surprising that it's taken this long for something like this to happen.
Yeah. So Derek, let me follow up then. 2021, that would not be an option for Illinois, correct? And well, as of right now, I would imagine. And would you think a school like, do you think Chin and Kentucky get involved with someone like AJ Storr?
For 2021 with Illinois, it was kind of said that if Brandon Podziemski didn't stick, or if he didn't go to Illinois, because that was still when the staff was in place and they're waiting for his decision. If he didn't ultimately pick Illinois, then they thought that maybe AJ Storr could slot in as a 2021 guy. So don't see that right now, because we just saw actually a bit of good news, because we're trying to dig for that as much as we can around here for the fans. Podziemski tweeted out that he was dunking over somebody in a gym and saying, hey, Coach Frazier, you're going to like this at State Farm Center. So that seems like a good sign.
Do you think, like, he asked a buddy, like, hey, I wanted this video, but I'm going to be dunking on somebody. Like, so whoever the buddy was that just kind of took that, like, that's a true friend, by the way. Because that was set up to do that, right?
Yeah. You got to be a willing casualty, I guess, at that point. I mean, you're going to be all over Twitter, but probably in the wrong way. I don't know. That's an unselfish friend, like you said. So RJ Melendez, still intact as far as we know, and then Luke Goody as well. So you asked the question about Kentucky. I mean, I don't know. That's not usually the range that they target. Of course, Chin would know his game as well as anybody and whether to put the word into Cal. But I would assume maybe it's someone on their radar somewhere to watch this summer. And if he just goes full on crazy and ends up in the top 50, they would be in play. But otherwise, I wouldn't expect that.
Derek, I think we talked before the Chester Frazier hire about the possibility of him. I want to focus here. What do you think of his recruiting ability? Because I don't know any Illinois fan that knows Chester, that heard from him in his press conference the other day. Like, you know, he knows basketball, and I think he knows how to get the most out of people. He did that as a player and a team that wasn't all that talented, that finished second in the Big Ten. He was a team captain of that team. But recruiting-wise, what do you think? Because he's got connections. He got some flack for saying what he said, and he did say it, that Illinois is a little sexier than Virginia Tech and Kansas State, which is true. Like, it's just been a better program. They get higher ranked recruits, but he had Virginia Tech in the top 25 last year. Kansas State, they won a lot, and Chester was a big part of that. I don't think it was any, you know, tried slight at those schools, but Illinois just is usually in on bigger recruits. I think that's what he meant, given their history. So after I cleared that up, he started to offer some kids. They just offered a kid, Cam Whitmore, out of Baltimore, a 2022 wing, right? A guy that, you know, could take a Storr spot potentially. But what do you think of his recruiting connections? What do you think he can do at his alma mater?
That's a really intriguing question. As a plug, we wrote about that today on the site. If you want to check that out, what him and Brad Underwood had to say about what he'll bring recruiting-wise. I know that, and he mentioned it with Kansas State, he recruited three of the five starters on that Elite Eight team. Now, those were more really good evaluations, maybe more than just beating out some other kind of heavy hitters as far as recruiting goes. Now, Barry Brown had a couple of high major offers. It gets him out of St. Petersburg in Florida, and he was an all Big 12 defensive player of the year in the conference type of player and was really impactful for them. But as far as the recruiting areas, the East Coast for sure, Maryland, Washington, D.C., he has recruited Florida, like I said. Texas is another area that he's experienced in, and I think he's recruited a guy or two out of there from his time at Kansas State. And I would still expect him to be someone that can get tapped into Chicago or tapped into in-state recruiting if there's a guy down in St. Louis. We'll have to see what the rest of the staff looks like around him. But I know that he's confident, and just the way that number one, he's passionate about Illinois and can sell the fact that he's played there. He knows what it's like to be in those shoes, especially to guards. where I think that he's done a really good job developing and will relate really well. And then also just, I mean, he's a worker, and that's what you hear about him. You hear that he's a grinder everyday guy, as Brad Underwood would say. So we'll have to see it. We'll have to see it through. I don't want to make any kind of bold statement like he's going to be an ace or he's not going to recruit at all. I mean, there's hot takes out there as far as the initial judgment, but I think it's a good hire. I think that he will relate well, but we'll have to see it through as far as, you know, what the results look like.
I think it depends on your expectations. If you're expecting him to land Iowa or Kofi right away, I think that that's a little unfair. But I think Illinois is a program that's going to be in that 30 to 150 range. I think that you're going to make – those are who they're going to recruit. I mean, and that's not just with Brad Underwood. That's just historically. Illinois rarely gets the five-star level talents. And the key is getting the right ones, getting a few of those top 50 guys like they did with, you know, Andre Curbelo now on the roster leading that way. You got to get those kind of difference makers. But I do think he's going to be pretty good in getting into those recruiting battles. And then it's about picking the right ones, making the right evaluations and making sure you have those relationships. You got to add another guy, right? You got to add another recruiter to this staff, Derek. And no other spot filled yet. So it's dragging a little bit, at least from the outside perspective. Brad Underwood is keeping things pretty close to the vest, and he told us that. You and I, like most people at this point, have heard the name Alan Huss from Creighton, who is a really strong recruiter, big man coach, checks the box, right? Illinois can offer him a lot of money, but and they are. We've heard that. They are offering a lot of money, and it's starting to rub some people at other jobs the wrong way. Maybe some people getting raises, Derek, based off what Underwood and Josh Whitman are throwing out here. But what do you think of where they sit right now in the market for one coach? And obviously, we're waiting to see if Stephen Gentry gets that Gonzaga spot or not.
Yeah, it is in a bit of a holding pattern. I have heard some strong buzz, at least I did over the weekend, about Alan Huss. And as you said, Illinois made a really strong push for him, offered him a big contract offer. And like you said, I mean, he seems very deserving of it based on his credentials, based on the fact that he is a fit as a big man coach. He recruited really well for Creighton here recently. And even in this past class, which is ranked pretty well, got a couple of top 100 guys. I think he's had four in the past 2 years where he's been the lead recruiter for.
Yeah, and currently in the 24/7 Sports recruiter rankings, which I mean, they can be flawed, just like any ranking. He had a lot of quantity, but that's never a bad thing when you're an assistant coach. But Mason Miller, Mike Miller's son, for you NBA fans, former Miami Heat player, Grizzlies player, his son, he's got him committed. He originally got Ty Washington, right? Who's now, right, yeah, now with Chin in Orlando down in Kentucky. So he's a proven worker and recruiter, and obviously he's done pretty well developing some talent, including Christian Bishop at Creighton. So he's an alum there. His family's been there for a while, so that'll be interesting if Illinois can pull him away. But if they did, Derek, I know most people, including myself, probably didn't hear him before this, but if they can pull that off, that'd be a pretty, I think, recognizable hire.
Yeah, it certainly would be. And he has connections internationally as well that he's been able to tap into and has experience coaching at that high school prep school level. He was at La Lumiere for 4 or 5 years. So that definitely would be a name that has Midwest ties and would check a lot of boxes, like you said. So a Decatur native, we'll see if there's the kind of the home area pull versus, yeah, like you said, the alma mater where he played there for 4 years. And it is, as we saw with Kamani Young, it can be hard to uproot a family when it ultimately gets down to it. So that'll be interesting as we hear in the coming days, and hopefully it is ironed out here. Now, just as an aside, the angst is going to build the longer it goes on. I don't think you're maybe losing too much by not having the answers right now. As Brad said, he wants to have it by June, number one, because you can host recruits for unofficial visits later on in June. You're going to be able to get out and be on live periods. I think that's going to be 2 weekends later in June. But yeah, it would be nice for us in the news business to also just be able to put this to bed and move on with our lives.
I got a vacation next week, Derek. I can't have this hanging over my head when I head to Florida for a week.
As Underwood can tell you, only bad things happen when you go on vacation.
That's right. So that'll probably happen. And we know Stephen Gentry's a candidate for Gonzaga, and that could be even likely at this point. But that's that's where this kind of dragging out for another spot, Derek, just the thought of instability. And Chester Frazier bringing him on, you know, helping you seemingly keep Brandon Podzimski on board, maybe keep up some of those players currently on the roster on board, right? But that's why it's important just to get this staff together so people know in your program more than outside, like us or fans. It's more of those people inside the program or recruits like AJ Storr, like they know who's here. And then they can decide, all right, is this still the place I want to be, or do I need to start looking elsewhere?
Yeah, that's a good call. When a recruit might see that instability, that there's more time to ask questions and more time to kind of seek out what else could potentially be out there. So like an Omar Payne, who doesn't know who his big man coach is going to be. Right. And I mean, that we haven't seen that yet as far as him exploring elsewhere. I guess technically he's probably still in a transfer portal, so maybe he doesn't have to re-enter.
Well, he signed a financial aid tender, but I'm sure he could get out of that, right? Like, yeah. He's not like Illinois would let him out of it after a coaching change. But yeah, it's just that thought of instability, it's just not good to have that drag out. So while Brad said he's not in a timeline rush now before June, the more days it drags on, the worse, right? Like it's not a good thing that it drags on, but it's also not the end of the world if we don't know at this point. But hopefully Brad does here very, very shortly. So Derek, we also got the 2021-2022 home and away schedules for the Big Ten, the single plays, the double plays. I'm not too big into this, and I think most of it pretty much evens out, but I do think the bottom of the Big Ten won't be as good this season, and the one plays Illinois got is a lot of the bottom of the Big Ten. So that would be my only concern is Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. Like, I think Penn State, Minnesota, and Nebraska are going to be bad. Like bad, like under 6-7 wins in the Big Ten. I think Indiana's going to be good. I think Ohio State's going to be good. And then Wisconsin, they could be bottom six. I don't know what to expect out of them. But two plays, you do get Michigan twice. And if there's one team I wish I could avoid twice, it'd be them, because I think they're going to be so talented. Maybe it takes some time to get together. Purdue you get twice. I think that's going to be a Big Ten title contender. Michigan State, I would imagine, bounces back a little bit, I would think. Rutgers and Iowa, two plays. They replace a lot. And Northwestern you get twice, and they shouldn't be very good, but they should be more competitive. Any big takeaways from that, Derek? Like, I'm not schedule guy, and I think it all mostly evens out. But the single plays, I would have liked Minnesota or Nebraska twice on my schedule.
Yeah, nothing too huge there. Now, I would have, if I'm going to complain, I could say we should have had the double play with Iowa last year. It ultimately had the meetup in the Big Ten tournament, which was fun. But Bohannon's back, Trent Frazier's back, DeMonte's back. If DeMonte's still in the mix, you got to rivalry has as much of it as possible. So, Penn State, I agree with you, despite our friend Brian Snow being there. It's too bad we only get to see Brian Snow once. Is that home or away?
Let me check here. I forgot. I keep forgetting about that. Yeah, that's at home. Snow is coming to see us.
Oh, man, the Orange Crush. There's got to be some subscribers because we know that he wasn't too popular on the old message board.
We got to get a bar meetup before that game, don't we?
Definitely. Definitely.
Not that we've done that before with Snow.
Have we done that?
I think we have. Yeah, we met him in Pigs and
we did
Brad John's at the Beef House one time. That was a good time. And in India,
Snow was a little wild at a 24/7 national meetup one time too.
That's right.
Well, not to out him here on this podcast.
We need another one of those. That was a good time. We had a really good time with that one. All right, Derek, before we get out of here, the roster, right? Like, you're still looking at this roster for 2021-2022 next season, and it's still like looks like it has some possibilities here, right? Like, if Omar Payne, Alfonso Plummer, and these, you know, freshman guards, like, we'll see like how big of an impact they make. But with Trent, DeMonte, you know, you're talking about Andre Curbelo, who's going to be one of the best players in the Big Ten, in my opinion. Your backcourt is pretty dang good. Your front court with Payne there looks a lot better. If Kofi Coburn comes back, I mean, Illinois is a national contender there. But even if he doesn't, if you add that one more piece at the four, you're putting together a roster that I'm not going to say is a Big Ten title contender, but after all of this, I feel like you still have a path to being a pretty good Big Ten team.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you there. I think that as you even slot in the starters right now and not with the question mark of Kofi, if Kofi doesn't come back, you still have a chance that if Payne is what you're hoping he is, which is just a very good athlete, a rim runner, ability to rebound and play defense inside, you can get away with that with a Curbelo and a Trent Frazier and Demonte Williams, Grandison. Those guys are known commodities. And you slot in Austin Hutcherson, who –
Ultimate X Factor
on the, here's a message board reference for you, the 9+ on the on the page as far as replies. That's really going to get things going.
Because you either think Austin Hutcherson's an NBA player or he's not going to make an impact, which is seems to be his range of his spectrum of possibilities. I'm honest. Like, he is so athletic. He can shoot. He's so long that you sit there and go, that's not ridiculous, right? Like, but then you're also like, how can you even count on that guy playing when I haven't seen him play at the Big Ten level and he's got a back issue.
Right. It is tough to know. But again, with Payne and then Plummer, two guys that have played the high major level, those guys coming in, I think that makes you feel pretty good as far as what they've shown. There's not a huge question mark about as far as a step up in competition. And then you have a couple of guys in the recruiting class that are top 100, top 150 range. Usually those guys are at least able to come in and give you something. And if one of them can really emerge and just be a nice role player, that would be something that further adds to it. Coleman Hawkins, like we've talked about, can take a big step forward. And there's still opportunities to add to the roster. I mean, we can daydream about a Quincy Guerrier, who can play the four.
Thank you for reminding me. I have to ask you that. Who is Quincy Guerrier, and how is Illinois in the mix here, and how good do you feel like they're sitting right now?
Yeah, it was the 2019 class where he's ranked around the 60 to 75 range out of Canada. He cut his list to three ultimately. He took three official visits to Syracuse, Oregon, Illinois. Jamal Walker was the lead recruiter on that one way back in the day. And Oregon, ultimately, the word around them was it was too far. It was too far away. I think in Montreal, I think, is where he's originally from. So not too far away. It was like a four-hour drive from Syracuse, ultimately, and that's where he ends up. But Brad Underwood has a previous relationship. Again, he's familiar with the campus at Illinois. He's talked a lot about he did back when he was being recruited about the playing style being something that really fits him. He likes the up and down, the space. And he's essentially been – he was – primarily a wing, just a big wing who could really score, really shot the three well as a prospect. And at Syracuse, he's been more of an interior player, more of a four man. He led them in rebounding last year, 6'7" guy that averaged over 8 rebounds a game. So he's physical, pretty good athlete, and can fit that four spot. And even Boeheim, I was reading some of his quotes late from last year where it's like he's a lot better shooter than he's shown so far. So he's someone that can definitely stretch the floor and shoot the three. So if Illinois was able to add him, we've talked how many podcasts about the four spot and trying to address that. And we're not disrespecting Coleman Hawkins because I think he's going to be a pretty good four man, but that would be a nice answer for something you could use.
Guerrier, like he's just exactly what you want. He's like, you know, maybe not the perfect like EJ Liddell, but I mean, he's got some of those things that you're looking for at the four and that you don't have currently on the roster. And if you add him, maybe there's not Kofi, maybe there's not Io, but you do have a star guard in Andre Curbelo with a lot of options. If a guy has a bad day, like you could have so many guys averaging 15-plus minutes on that team, whether it's, you know, Plummer at guard, Williams at guard, Frazier at guard, Hutcherson, Grandison rotating on the wing, and then you add in the front court Hawkins, Payne, someone like Guerrier. Like, that's why if you can add that kind of player, it's a really complete roster, even if you don't have a star all Big Ten guy, I'm thinking outside of Curbelo.
Yeah, it's a deep team. It's a lot of options, a lot of guys that you could just piece together and maybe not be, like you said, what you were last year, but you think of some teams like, you know, Purdue has been in the past of just maybe not having that one star guy, but being someone that can play 8-9 deep. That
Ohio State last year,
great point. Yeah, that as well. So as far as the four spot, I know that Trey Mitchell's a guy that we've talked a lot about. Gary A is added in there, and maybe another one after the NBA draft or that process could be someone also mentioned that someone's going to take that quote and say Piper's hinting at EJ Liddell, which I'm not necessarily there. So, but there's going to be some more options to bolster that position. And like you said, as we've emphasized, it can be a pretty good roster next year, especially, I mean, if Kofi comes back and one of these other additions comes through and you don't lose anything else, it could be really dang good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Derek Piper. Thank you, buddy. There's a lot to catch up on, and I will take a vacation break, but I imagine I will come back to a lot different Illinois basketball kind of landscape here, or it'll be the same, and we'll just be on page 352 of our hot board.
Yeah, we probably will, but you enjoy yourself, much deserved, and yeah, let's either bring some news back with you or something. I don't know. We need some help.
Anybody you need to check? Need me to check out in Florida now? Like, is anybody down there that I need to check out?
We're having Chester on the radio today. I'll ask. Nah, he can't say that. But all right. We'll figure that out.
All right. Thanks, Derek.
All right. See you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That'll do it for the Illini Inquirer podcast today. And yes, just a heads up, probably not many podcasts coming out in the next week or so, as my wife and I are going on a vacation, first time since my daughter was born, and she's 2.5 now, that we're getting away by ourselves. So we're going to enjoy that time together. I reset a little bit, but Derek Piper, Joey Wagner, and we have an intern coming on board that we'll let you know about, but they will hold the fort, all the news that breaks, anything going on, and do have some big stories coming out, some good feature stories coming up with a lot of these Illinois teams in their postseason. But also during this offseason, we get to dig into some bigger feature stories that we're excited to get you as well. Thanks for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate that. Rate us, review us. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.